Good morning, Arch Street. Having some technical challenges this morning, but I'm powering through. Before we come before this word from Isaiah, I have a request, and we'll give you some time to accomplish this. It would be tremendous if you could grab a piece of paper or a notebook and a pen or a pencil or a Sharpie or a crayon or whatever you like to write with. It will be important following this scripture reading. So I'm going to give you, for some of you don't need to admit who you are, but I'm guessing some of you, when you're doing Zoom church, go off camera and work on your next week to-do list. But I want to make sure that you can have a minute to grab that piece of paper and pencil or pen. This morning's scripture passage comes from Isaiah 55. Now, while you're grabbing that pen and paper, it's important for me to share the context. This text brings forward a prophetic vision that is pretty impossible to believe. Meaning, what we're imagining here is a word of promise and possibility that lands in the lives of the people of Israel, who are currently living in exile. They are part of the captivity of Babylon. They feel as though everything that they have known is now impossible to know. The certainties upon which they built the foundation of their lives were very much in question. It was a time of deep anxiety, feeling out of control, feeling as though the world had been turned upside down. For me, it's important to close the gap between 2nd Isaiah, which begins in chapter 40, and this passage that is in chapter 55, which for all of us who feel like the world is spinning out of control, where those who are in power are reckless, untruthful, and foolish, it's hard to imagine we have anything to lean on that reminds us of what is right and just and good. So, into the lives of those who were in captivity, and into the lives of those of us who are participating in a world that many of us don't recognize, listen now for God's purpose and promise in the performative word of God in Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So, one of the great gifts of the world is the endless diversity. Diversity of creation, variety of flora and fauna, variety to be experienced in the seasons, variety in the temperament and approach and accomplishment of so many people who have gone before us and people who are yet to follow behind us in the great witness of faith. And yet in this unfathomable variety and diversity of creation, there are really only two kinds of people in the world. People who try to remember everything they're thinking about, and people you can trust to write things down. If I were to guess among the great diversity of Art Street, I bet 95% of you write things down. Like, not type things down or put them in your phone. You actually like are super old school and write things down. And I don't want to make anyone feel like if you're not a person who writes things down, you're going to be cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm just saying God exercises a preferential option for those who write things down. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a spiritual gift. I'm kidding, but I want to make a case for why writing things down can actually deepen your faith and broaden your sense of grace in the world that is very troubled right now. So remember, I asked you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. One of the great gifts for me about writing things down is it helps me record in writing everything that has my attention currently. So I'm going to invite you for a minute to leave the worship space and write down, even if it's a keyword, the top five things that are occupying your attention, whether they be positive or challenging. I'll be quiet while you write. I'm going to give you another 30 seconds. Now, I would love to know, and maybe during the time of prayer, I'm wondering, maybe we can put in the chat some of the things you're carrying that you wrote down. That's just an idea. Now, writing things down aren't always the things that trouble us. Like the pastor that I'm going to be in the next life, right? Not this one, the next life. I know one of these people. They like remember their... Someone wrote me a letter and said, oh, this is the week that you and Julie got engaged. I just remember that day. I'm like, I don't want anyone to know this, but I didn't know that. This pastor is the person who writes things down, right? And remembers things. and like writes it down because it's like, oh, I'm writing this down because I want to call you to mind the way Paul calls people to mind. I summon you when I see it on my calendar. Oh, this is the day when your child was born. This is the day when you had a work anniversary. This is the day when you joined the Heritage Corral. This is the day I remember because I remember you. Now, don't feel badly if you didn't write all good things down that are consuming your attention, because when I did this for myself, I came up with this list. Fire tornadoes and the future of creation. Lying, distortion, and reckless disregard for decency. What does this mean for the future of our society? The pandemic's impact on the spiking of domestic violence. Plots to kidnap governors. Lord have mercy. The future of women's health in the Supreme Court. Those were the things I wrote down. And if you don't write things down, your head is and heart, I think, is cluttered. So when I commit them to paper, I feel better because it's out of here and it's out of here. And now I can look at it and I can experience some clarity. Now, the other benefit of writing things down is it helps to clarify your personal goals, priorities, and intentions. If you're facing personal adversity or challenges, or there are global challenges like the ones that we're facing Israel or the ones that are facing our city and nation right now, if you write down what is important, you will be less likely to be blown off course. You won't be tossed by the waves or knocked down or cast down. If you commit what is important to you, you can adapt, you can flex, you can pivot. My kids just watched The Matrix and they've been doing all week that thing. I don't know if you've seen it where he like dodges like this. Like the thing that's cool about that is he doesn't lose his grounding and he keeps pressing forward even when things were coming at him. Writing things down helps you keep in the forefront of your priorities when other folk would have you think about other things or distract you from your mission, your calling, what it is you are here to be and become. If you write it down, that's in front of you like the headlines are in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is important for me, probably not for y'all. But as I get older, writing things down helps me not to forget. And even more than forgetting, it helps me clarify a vision that might be a God-implanted vision. 12 years ago this month, I walked into the sanctuary with Pastor Mike. And if the Holy Spirit was coursing through the building at 18th and Arch, it was not super evident to me how that was so. What I overwhelmingly felt were two things. Folk who were just tired. Too few hands to lift the witness of praise in a sanctuary that had built with great hope. And I remember going home and writing down, what is God's dream for this corner? And that writing it down invites us into a process of believing that there is a dream, a vision there. The craft is archaeology. It's not creating things out of whole cloth. It's already there right in front of you to discover, to uncover. But by writing it down, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer so that perhaps one day others might come in and see evidence of what it is God is trying to bring forward in a place that felt like for a while it was in hibernation. in our culture, in our society, when you write something down, you're kind of making a commitment. Now, there are people in our society who sign their tax returns, and it says on the tax return, for those of y'all who have done this, I'm guessing most of you do this, that you say, to the best of your knowledge, what you have signed on the above when you fill out these returns is right and true under penalty of law. That's how I usually do it. For others, you just make stuff up and sign it and nothing happens to you. That only happens, I think, if you don't win the popular vote in an election and then you run around acting like you're really important. But writing stuff down, for most of us, is a sign of a commitment. When you sign a marriage covenant certificate, you're saying, I am going to take a chance on a future I cannot possibly predict with this person because I have seen enough. I've seen them at their best and I've seen them at their worst, and I'm willing to try and forge the future with this person come what may, and I'm ready to put my name to it. That's when we sign, when we write something down, oftentimes we say it and we're going to mean it and we're going to commit to it, especially when things get hard. Not 12 years ago, but at least 10 years ago, more like 11 years ago, I read a signed employment offer from J. Donald Dumpson to join the music, to form and create the music ministry. Somebody, maybe me, wrote out, we would like you to consider this as a good faith offer to hold your immense talent. Will you trust this community with your great gifts? And by signing the letter, you're saying, I don't know what God has for me, but I'm going to sign anyway. It's not irrevocable, but I am committing to what is possible. Writing things down has power, particularly when you're in turbulent times. I don't think it's an accident that the prophet Isaiah, in channeling God's intentions for the world, wrote it down so that you could refer to it, so that you could lean into it, so you could stand against it, so you can embrace what it says. Because there was evidence externally to the experience of being the people of Israel, to being exiled, to not feel like you belong anywhere, that the world is upside down, that everything you thought was so is now not so. What are you to do? You refer to what has been written down, committed to paper. And I'm going to refer to what was said there, but also what it means to have it written down. To read verse 11 is a sense that God's word, the word of God that proceeds from God's mouth, that is reliable. It is a reliable word that you can build your entire life upon. Despite what is happening to you, despite what's happening around you, despite what's happening within you, despite what's happening all around us, in the midst of a global pandemic, unstable leadership, and a sense, a dull sense, a gnawing sense that I have of anxiety and depression, I need something to ground myself within. And what this verse brings forward is an incredibly radical notion that the word that proceeds from God's mouth, that is written for you to behold, is performative. It does what it says it's going to do. The word of God, when it proceeds forth, it will return having accomplished what God intended for it to do in the lives of those who hear it. It is not idle chatter. It is not just performative, it is purposeful in our world and in our lives. And as a consequence, we may ask what that word from the mouth of God purposes and promises. Now, earlier on, if you read later in chapter 40 of Isaiah, that's made most famous by, that's the text for that underpins Handel's Messiah. The poet of Isaiah, the prophet of Isaiah, gives us access to a debate among those who are holding court, among the angels and godlets, if you will, that surround the great kingdom and of heaven. And they are pondering the rule and order of God. In this conversation, all concede that though that there are things that are not ultimately durable. In fact, nothing in creation is ultimately durable. It says the grass will wither and the flower will fade. But then one voice in verse 8 comes forward to proclaim something totally radical. There is one thing that lasts and will not wither or fade. God's word, God's purpose, God's declaration of rule is unlike withering grass or fading flower or fraudulent leadership, because that word does not wither or fade. It lasts forever. The prophet executes a stunning revelation. On the one hand, the sovereign purpose of God is that the people of Israel will return home from Babylon to Jerusalem. The poet conjures a dramatic scene for those who are hearing to embrace and to. You, people of God who are in turmoil, shall go out from that place of turmoil, Babylon, and be guided back, shall be led back to Jerusalem, and joy and peace will mark your journey home. This utterance is offered while the Babylonian Empire is still the master of estrangement for those who are displaced, for those to whom this poetry is addressed. And yet, in this proclamation, it is the prophet who refuses to give in to Babylon, that the word of God outruns and contradicts the will and wishes of the Babylonian Empire. The purpose of God overrides every other sovereignty. And that divine will is now put to work on behalf of the emancipation of those who had been held helpless and powerless by an empire that was godless. No one could have anticipated such an emancipation, and no one could have even hoped for such a restoration. Given this historical horizon of Babylon, emancipation and homecoming are considered impossible. A flight of fancy. And yet the point of prophecy, the point of the word of God, is that the word of God does what the world judges to be impossible in order to restore the well-being of those whom God adores. This deep counter-truth with deep specificity to our own time, our own place, and our present circumstance, it gathers us around the good news of God in circumstances of deep crisis that feel closed down, hopeless, and clouded by despair. By reading this, by believing that God's word has a purpose and a performative aspect that will embrace each one of us, it means that every time it is the resolve of God to open what is closed down, to hold on to hope in the midst of hopelessness, and to override despair in resolve that we will be led back in joy and peace. The word is a wedge of newness in a world that seems closed off. The word evokes human energy and recruits all of us to have courage for the endless work of emancipation, restoration, and homecoming. That we, by reading this word, also perform this word by writing it down and then living it out. There are major saints that we will remember later this month. And then there are saints who live among us who also write things down. Saint Oprah, ever heard of her? She told me, she didn't tell me, I just read it on a journal. I don't know Oprah. She told me that in these times, the things that's keeping her sane is writing down and keeping track of gratitude so she's not overwhelmed by her sense of rage. And so for me, I write things down because I know that the forces that are at work to make people feel insignificant or powerless are not more powerful than what God is ultimately doing in the world. And I had better recommit to deploying myself in a way that brings into view something God delights in. I had better invest myself in the things that God is invested in. And that is why investing in Arch Street will help you feel more alive and less hopeless, more open and less closed down, less out of control and more grounded in God's grace and love. In my own work this week, I didn't start my gratitude journal with my own words. I wrote these words down that may be known to you. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. For he has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. For he has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. O God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things because, God, you do great things. Amen.